Bashir's expulsion of foreign aid agencies from Darfur has, by most accounts, worsened the humanitarian situation there. The United Nations warned today that the absence of those aid groups could lead to water supplies drying up and 1 million people going without food. One of the services disrupted by Bashir's crackdown is a treatment center for victims of torture and sexual violence. It's located in the city of Niala, and it's the only center of its kind in Darfur. The head of the center is Mohammed Ahmed, a physician and human rights worker who is a native of Darfur. Dr. Ahmed is visiting the United States and joins us in our studio in Boston. And could you please tell us about the humanitarian situation in Darfur in the last several weeks? I'm particularly interested in since the government in Khartoum cracked down on foreign aid groups and started kicking them out.
I think the situation deteriorated a lot. Now, the latest information we had, there are more than 1 million without an access to food, more than 1.5 million without an access to water, more than 1.5 million without access to health services. In addition, the epidemic disease, the diarrheal disease, and the meningitis, which is now occurring. So that's really a big problem facing these people.
What about the work that you were doing, working with victims of torture and sexual violence? Is anybody doing that work now?
Nobody's doing because we are one of the national organizations and our centers are shut down by the government and we are targeted. Most of us are targeted and most of them are no longer in Sudan.
So people who were getting treatment from you in the past, they're just left now with nothing?
Yeah.
How much is torture a part of the violence that is occurring in Darfur? Is that a major component of what's happening?
Almost everybody has his own story. Mm. He may not be hurt directly, but he has seen his relatives killed in front of him, his belongings looted. And he was just lucky because he was not shot or he was not injured. But everybody has his own tragedy.
Well, I'm wondering if you could give us a picture of what life in Niala is like right now and contrasting it with what life was like before fighting started there and you started treating these victims of torture and sexual violence.
It depends on which side you are. Are you with the government or with the native people?
Life is good for people if you're on the government side of things, but
that's
not so good,
good because
for the
they have all facilities, while the others really don't have anything. The normal Sudanese live with a daily income less than $1. Hmm. That is, you can imagine. Less than 9% of the population have good access to clear water. A very high infant mortality rate with more than 237 per 100,000. One doctor per 100,000 population. That's the situation we have been living in.
The situation you're describing for us right now, you yourself as a physician in the Darfur region of Sudan, the crisis, the new crisis that aid workers are facing right now, I'm wondering what it is that you yourself need most to continue the work that you're doing and to be effective.
It's really a delicate moment because it's a matter of the willingness of the government of Sudan or not. Sudan is not ruled by what's known as government. There is only national security forces who are dictating everything. And they have the absolute impunity. Whatever you want to do, even if you have a capacity, you will not be allowed. This is why one of my aims is to explain these drastic conditions people are living in. People are living in unbearable conditions in Sudan.
Back on March 4th, when the government in Khartoum started cracking down on foreign aid workers, started expelling them from the country, a government official had said that he was hopeful other aid agencies could pick up where the expelled groups were leaving off. And I was just wondering, is it as simple as another group taking over for Doctors Without Borders, for instance, or CARE? I mean, the projects that they were working on, can somebody just step in and pick up where they leave off? Or is it more complicated than that?
It's more complicated because you need to have a faith in the community. You have to understand what is the dynamics going on and it needs to know how things have been running. So it's not that simple thing.
And
it's,
I would imagine, too, the type of work you do working with victims of torture and sexual violence, that's something you need to build a trust with them for them to open up with you to start
because,
the healing process.
Yeah, because they know me before being just working in that center and they trust me. And this is why even some others whom they don't know, because they are working with me, they have a full trust and they can convey the most serious information to these. And that will help in the treatment of these survivors. But it's difficult to start from new. How we can build the confidence? This is really difficult. And everybody has psychological trauma. It's just simple things to know that he is from that village, and I know that in that village I know X and Y, and that gives the confidence. and talking with the same language they are talking, that gives them the utmost pleasure. So they know me, and at least if they haven't seen me, they know my name. And just saying that this is run by Muhammad Ahmad, somebody everybody trusts, and then you can have easy access to the patient. And then after that, they will start to disclose, because they think that, yeah, he can be trusted and that he's helping us. If you've succeeded with the first and second, then this will be disseminated and the others will come gradually.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story and coming in and telling us about some of the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you for you.
Dr. Mohamed Ahmed is a doctor and human rights worker from Darfur. He works for the Sudanese Organization for Rights and Peacebuilding.